Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, March the 23rd. Easter's only a couple of weeks away. Spring just sprung a couple days ago. Daylight savings time here on the eastern side of the country. racing down at Atlanta. A little bit of news coming out of I guess, I don't know how I'd put it. Is it NASCAR news, SRX news, or NHRA news? Well, anyway, tweeted this past week that Tony Stewart, yes, that's right, smoked himself. Well, I don't know if he smokes himself. And Leah Pruitt, top fuel dragster, drag racer, got engaged. Finally, somebody getting them to settle down, or is he just liking somebody who goes faster than he ever did? But, you know, hey, good luck for them, but of, you know, with all the stuff he's got going on, I'm surprised he's got time for it, truthfully. But anyway, you know, I can't say anything. Everybody deserves their share of happiness. You know, that's how it goes. NASCAR in action with the Xfinity and Cup Series in Atlanta. NHRA will be in Atlanta. For the Southern Nationals from April 30th to May 2nd. I know it's a month away, but it's going to be the final event, Speedway. So I wonder if a new venue has the Southern Nationals or they're just changing things around. So, let's see where the schedule is. There was no, I didn't see any, maybe there was. No. No events this weekend, they won't be back until April for the Lucas Oil Winter Nationals. To be determined. That's kind of weird. You don't have an actual date. It'll be at Pomona. They're going to shoot out to the West Coast for the Winter Nationals. And then they go to the Four Wives on the middle of April from the 16th through the 18th. So we'll see what happens there. Anyway, see if ARCA was in action at all. Let's see if we got the standings there. I went to find them last time, but I know it's only been one race, but the standings, they didn't have them up at the time. So the top fuel standings, it's Josh Hart, somebody who really hasn't been on the big scene till this year, because I don't remember seeing that name, and we've, you know, we've been following this for a while. He leads the points, 19 over Sean Langdon. Antron Brown is in third. Justin Ashley is fourth. Steve Torrance is fifth. Billy Torrance is sixth. So you got your defending champs, mired in the middle of the top 10. Figure the top 10 make the countdown, so that's why I go there. Doug Kalita in 7th. Leah Pruitt. Newly engaged Leah Pruitt. So she was Leah Pruitt. And she must have got, she got married and she was Leah Pritchett. Then I guess they got divorced and we went back to her maiden name. So I guess it's going to be Leah Stewart eventually. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And Brittany Force back in action after JFR pulled all his vehicles out last year during the pandemic, lockdown and all that good stuff, you know. Stuff we're trying to figure out what the hell is going on because everything changes from day to day. Season 9. And Mike Salinas, haven't seen his name in a while. He's in 10th. His daughter had a nasty wreck. But she's okay, so I think she's running top alcohol right now. She was running pro stock bike and had a nasty wreck. I guess she decided to go into something with a roof. It always helps. In the funny car division, J.R. Todd leads the standings with 19 points over two-time champ Robert Height. Cruz Pedregon in the top 10 for the first time in a while. In third, Bob Pasca. In fourth, Ronnie Capps. In fifth, Alexis DeJoria. She's running sixth. Tim Wilkerson in seventh. John Force in eighth. Matt Hagen, who's from about 60 miles north of me in Christiansburg, is ninth. And Paul Lee rounds up the countdown cutoff. But there's a tie with Blake Alexander in 11th, so I wonder how one guy makes it and the other guy doesn't. It's not alphabetical order. But Blake Alexander's initials are further up the alphabet to the beginning than Paul Lee, but hey, I don't make the rules. And Chad Green in 12th. Is 82 points back, all tied with 32 points. If you're looking at it, just behind them, a point behind them is in 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th, there's a tie with John Smith, Dave Richards, Jim Campbell, Bobby Bodie, the third. Imagine being the third person named Bobby Bodie. So they're all tied there. So it's not out of the woods. Hagen at 34 points. If he has a rough week, he could be on the bottom looking in, and he's a former champ as well. Actually, he might even be the defending champ. I don't remember. It's been how it goes. Pro stock. Let's check it. Greg Anderson leads the field, has a 30-point lead over Troy Coughlin, Jr. Derek Kramer is third. Mason McGahey. Troy Coughlin and Mason McGahey. I don't see Jeg Coughlin, unless Jeg's real first name is Troy. But he's driving for Elite, and he's in second. Derek Kramer, third, or maybe Troy is Jeg. I don't know. Used to be Jeg Coughlin. Now it's Troy Coughlin, Jr. Chris McGahey. Now it's Mason McGahey. But Chris is still in the field, as a matter of fact. But we'll get to him in a little bit. Derek Kramer is third. Mason McGahey is fourth. Matt Hartford is fifth. Kyle Koretsky is sixth. Alex Laughlin is seventh. Fernando Cuadra is eighth. Defending champ Erica Enders. is ninth, and Kenny Delco rounds out the top 10. 1 point out of the cutoff is Chris McGahey. That's why I said I'd wait on that. And then everybody else is far enough back. It looks like it's tight all the way to 16th. Christian Quadra, I guess he's the father of, or the son of, I don't know, Fernando Quadra Jr., Quadra Racing. At least he's in a Ford, but ain't too many of those. Tim Wilkerson has a Ford, but that's a funny car. Anyway, that's that. Off to Pro Stock Mike. Internet's a little slow. Matt Smith, defending champ. 23 points ahead, Ryan Oler, Stevie Johnson, third. Scotty Polacek, fourth. Angel Sampe, fifth. And she's a member of the Vance Hines Harley-Davidson. Which I don't see any of them, Andrew Hines or Eddie Krawick. Sixth is Karen Stoffer. Two ladies up at the top there. The top six. Seventh, Hector Arana Jr., who's been on the show. Chris Bostic, eighth. Joey Gladstone, ninth. And another lady in the top ten, Matt Smith's wife, Angie Smith. Gianna Salinas. Oh, there she is in 20th. I don't see Eddie Krawick. That's weird. Or Andrew Hines. Wonder what happened to them. Did they retire? And only Angel is the one carrying the Harley name? That's hard to believe. Used to be the three Harleys. Well, Angie just joined them, I think, last year. She was running either a Buell or a Suzuki. I can't remember which. But, no Eddie Krawick. I mean, those two guys were usually up at the top. Well, that's the way it is for NHRA right now. So, therefore, they are off until April. Well, ARCA has 10 questions with Brittany Zamora. Let's see what they are. Little interview that they did with her on video, probably Zoom. Oh, boy. Oh, there's a commercial. 20 seconds. I'm not going to turn this down until that commercial's over, but looks good. Steakhouse is somewhere. I don't know. Sun basket. Oh, it's a gift card thing.
So we got 10 really quick questions for you. We're going to knock these out. The first one is, have you ever binge-watched a television series? And if so, what was the one you watched most recently?
Oh, gosh, I do, yeah. I'd probably say the first one I ever, started binge-watching was The Office, and it's something I still, regularly watch. It's pretty good. I like the humor in it.
Yeah, I think my daughter would watch The Office pretty much 24 hours a day if she could. Still a good show, almost 15 years later, it is.
Yes, it is. That and Friends are good shows.
Yeah. And now that I work in an office every day, I can tell you that's pretty true. All right. So it's weird asking race car drivers this next question, because I think a lot of people would swap lives with you guys for a day. But If you could swap lives with anyone just for one day, anyone in the world, who would you want to swap lives with?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like a simple answer would be like a cup driver, you know, like living the life that I'm out here trying to do. But I'd probably choose somebody like, I don't know, Bill Gates or somebody, because you just have endless amounts of money. You could do anything that you wanted to do. So I think that'd be pretty fun.
Right. If you swap lives with him, you could write a lifetime contract to sponsor you.
I could, yeah.
There you go.
One day.
Yeah, smart. All right, so other than being a supremely talented race car driver, what is a natural talent that you wish that you'd have been born with?
Oh, gosh. Probably singing.
Yeah.
I love to jam out in the car, but I usually do it when nobody's around because I'm so off tune. It's terrible.
You can sing while you're driving the race car and no one will hear you.
Yeah, I might have time on the back stretch.
Right. And the great thing about it is you wouldn't even hear yourself when you're in the race car. Yeah, there you go.
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm not a very good singer either. All right, so if you could give yourself any superpower, be a superhero, what superpower would you give yourself?
I'd be either to fly or be invisible. Yeah, flying to the speed, obviously.
Right.
Get places faster. But being invisible would be kind of cool. I don't know what I would do, but.
You would know what everybody was up to all the time, so they would have any idea you were there.
Yeah.
All right, so we just kind of talked about this. Other than listening to yourself down the backstretch at Daytona, have you ever wanted to have any music playing while you're in the race car? And if you could, what would you be listening to?
Ooh. You know, country hits are my go-to. They're not really anything like pump you up in the car. It might make you tired, but I love some good country music. So that's always my go-to.
All right, like 80s, 90s country music or the current country music? Some people will say that I don't listen to a lot of country, but a lot of people say the country music that we have now isn't like real country music. So which one would you prefer?
Yeah, it's changed quite a bit. Like now it's more like country pop music.
Right.
So, like, Luke Bryan, not my favorite. It's more like pop music and stuff. But,
right.
You know, you get back to the older country. I mean, you can't go wrong with Garth Brooks.
Right.
You have Kane Brown, probably one of my more, like, popular current singers, Parker McCollum. So there's some recent, some old. It just kind of depends on the song, I guess.
So my all of my exposure to country music is from when NASCAR was on the national network back in the day, and they would have all the promos, you know, in the commercials, and I'd be like, I can get those stuff out of here. I don't want to watch this country stuff. But
yeah.
And now that you're 30 years removed away from it, you're like, oh, those songs are all right. They weren't so bad.
Yeah.
All right. So if you could go on vacation anywhere in the world, actually anywhere in the universe, not just the world, anywhere in the universe, where would you want to go?
So maybe like Cabo, Cancun, Bahamas, that'd be nice. I like the cold weather, so sometimes like going snowboarding up in the mountains is fun, but I just like laying on the beach in the sun and not having too many worries, so probably the case from there.
Well, good thing you're going to Florida here for a weekend coming up, huh?
Yes.
All right, if you could hang out and have dinner with any race car driver, who would you choose to go and have dinner with?
Well, he's not with us anymore, but probably Alan Kulwicki. I was in the Kulwicki program back in 2018, and I got to learn so much about him, and I admire, you know, how he came up into the sport and what he's done for the sport. So I think sitting down with dinner with him, just the things that you would learn about him and his time would be really cool.
Yeah, he was definitely a pretty special character. I remember the first time I saw him when I was a kid racing in the ASA series here at Toledo Speedway, and I was I always liked that number 97 car he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, later on, obviously, his accomplishments. And, of course, Tom Roberts, his PR guy, who you are very familiar with. Tom's a wonderful guy doing a lot of good work carrying that legacy on, so certainly appreciate that. All right, so this is a very critical question. Day races or night races? Your favorite?
Night, for sure. Night races, for sure, I prefer.
Yeah, so any reason why? Because it's cooler inside the race car, for one, right?
I mean, that always helps, but there's something about, like, being under the lights and I think it's like a cooler atmosphere, and just what I've grown up doing is racing at night, so I'm probably biased to it. But yeah, just something about racing under the lights is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so and this is, again, kind of a tricky question to ask young people, but what's your favorite thing to cook? Do you is there anything in particular you're really good at?
Oh, geez. I'm a pretty decent cook, but I love, like, anything Italian or Mexican, so you name it, I can figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. That's what you do. You got to learn how to do it one way or the other. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to – you give me something Italian and I'm pretty happy with it, unless it's eggplant. That's the only thing I don't like.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, no eggplant. Yeah. All right, last question for you. Do you have any pre-race superstitions or any rituals that you just absolutely have to do before you get in that race car and go race?
I have one, and I feel like – I've told people about this before, and they're like, that's kind of odd. But I've always done it, so now I feel like if I don't, then I'm going to throw myself off. So whenever I, like, put my suit on or put a shoe on or a glove, I always have to put, like, the left shoe on first. I always have to put the left glove on first. And I don't know why. I realized one day, I'm like, oh, my God, I do always do that. I'm like, so I can't change it now. So whenever
if you do,
the gloves go on.
Yeah, and if you do it differently, it just feels uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. For whatever reason, every morning I put my left shoe on first, and if for some reason you don't do it that way, it throws you off. It feels weird.
It does. It doesn't feel right.
They have 10 questions with Brittany Zamora. Speaking of ARCA, let's check the standings for there. In the ARCA Menard series, see if the young lady is up in there somewhere. Uh-oh. Up. Yeah, it's not good. I guess she wrecked out early at Daytona because she is 52nd out of 52. But, hey, her first one in. Starting off in a series at Daytona when you're not used to running at those speeds and drafting and all that is kind of to do. But as of now, a couple of races, actually. She was only in one, but she might be a part-timer. Maybe we can get her on Garage Talk Live, and we know what happens there. Anyway, Corey Heim leads the points. Two races in, he has a win. Ty Gibbs is second. Two races, he has a win. Nobody else has wins from three on down, so we'll just go in order. Drew Dollar is third. Kyle Sieg is fourth. Thad Moffitt is fifth. Tim Richmond is sixth. For some reason I can't picture this Tim Richmond because I'm used to seeing the original Tim Richmond. Richard Garvey is seventh. Jack Wood, no comments please, is eighth. D.L. Wilson is ninth. Brett Holmes and rounds out your top 10. So there are your top 10 in ARCA. As Brittany, yes, did crash out. In Daytona. That's from Mark Rett. Okay. Maybe we can get her on. I guess if Tom Roberts might be her PR guy, then I know him from back in the day. Let me go back to see when their next race is. You know, trying to navigate some of these sites are not easy schedule. Next one will be April 24th. They're off from Phoenix till April. That's about a month and a half. Here, the 12th and the 12th, half a month, and then another 12 days from that. It's almost another 2 weeks. for the General Tire 200 at the Talladega Super Speedway. So therefore, we won't have no ARCA results for a while. Cuts that down. Let's see. ARCA Menard Series, not the East or West, which is basically the old NASCAR K&N Series. But when, I guess, ARCA merged or was bought out by NASCAR, now they're all one organization, so... give ARCA a few lead in the series. So they changed it from NASCAR K&N to ARCA Menards. Menards has been with ARCA for a while, but it's an underling. Used to be basically sort of competitive against NASCAR, but they always opened up for NASCAR. It's like the V8 version of it. Well, back when the Xfinity series ran six cylinders, ARCA had the V8s. It always seemed to be like the used cup cars that the ARCA series guys would get. Like NASCAR would only be allowed to have a vehicle for a three-model year before they had to upgrade to the new one, and then I guess when they sold them off, or they just run them in the ASCAR, ARCA series. Well, I've heard them call other things, ASCAR, APCAR. Anyway, let's take a look at this weekend's events. Oh, Truck Xfinity N Cup Series in action. Blow up the screen a bit because the way they got it, I used to be able to download them and have them set. But the way NASCAR redid their stuff, it's kind of a pain. But taking the checkered flag, leading 102 of the 130 laps run, none other than the rowdy guy, Kyle Busch. He finished stage one in second and stage two in second, which really don't matter. John Hunter Nemechek won both stages. I think it means more to him than it does to Kyle. Because he's running, I guess, for the championship. But anyway, Austin Hill is second. John Hunter Nemechek is third. He started on the pole. Johnny Sauter, fourth. Sheldon Creed, fifth. Zane Smith, sixth. Ross Chastain, seventh. Matt Crafton, eighth. Brett Moffitt, ninth, and Stuart Friesen rounds out your top ten. I know there's ladies in here. Where are you at, Jen? Uh-oh. Did Jen not make the field? Nope, she did. Finished 38th, started 30th. Bill Lester in the 17 truck. He's been out for a while. Well, was just decided to get back into it. Haley Deegan finished 21st. But the other lady I'm looking for, another lady. And there she is. I've just seen her. At least I thought I did. I'm looking for Natalie Decker. Maybe I didn't see her. No, I don't know. She's been having some health issues, but I think she's back, got her game back. But Tanner Gray, former pro stock champion, the NHRA 19th. I like to keep an eye on some of these people, you know. All righty, everybody, no fail to qualify, so Race took an hour, 29 minutes. It was Kyle Busch's 60th victory in the Truck Series. Margin of victory is pretty big, 4.13 seconds. Three cautions for 16 laps, and two of them, well, it was a clean race, one competition caution and two stage cautions, and eight lead changes amongst four drivers. And to check the points, with help by Lou DeRake Series, they get this. Nice to be able to just scroll there and go from there. John Hunter Nemechek leads the points. He has a win. Ben Rhodes is second, two wins. Sheldon Creed is third. Matt Crafton fourth. Friesen fifth. Austin Hill sixth. Johnny Sauter seventh. Zane Smith eighth. Ninth, Grant Enfinger. And tenth, Carson Pulsiver. And there is the amount of people eligible for the playoffs. One point back, though, is Chandler Smith. And Todd Gilliland is three back. So they're not out of it yet. The other two are rookies. Ellie Deegan's got a lot of catching up to do, but if they keep her there and she runs a bit, I'm sure by the time the year's over, she might not be able to make the points and compete for a championship, but she might have a race win or two. Just got to keep an eye on her. So she is one that seems to have the most promise. Anyway, let's check our audio. Here are your top three. We'll just try to get to Kyle Busch and
it's just one of those places I want to win. I had it taken away from me last year on a green-white checkered, and then this year I was hoping for the green-white checkered just to see if I could do something with them. So all in all, it's been a good bounce back what I ran last night.
And, I mean, you're the
rough and abrasive. I just get around really well, and then on top of that, Scott and all the guys at HRE, they bring me a really good piece. They always bring me a really fast boy of the Tundra. You know, you have to have the right setup in it to be able to do what we did today. So without those guys, I wouldn't be able to sit here and say that I'm good on a track like this, because setup definitely matters. So just everything that we've been doing, all the help from TRD and all those guys, it's just we're right now we're really good at these racetracks, and I love slipping and sliding and doing all that. So wish we ran more of these places.
Thank you for the great run once again.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, and good luck in Bristol.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care now. And we are now joined by today's race winner, Kyle Busch. We're going to go straight into questions for Kyle, and our first question will come from Bob Pock. Let's go to the question, Bob.
Yeah, Kyle, I really just want to ask about Bristol and last night, and just how you felt that the track was, and if there's anything that you want to see before next week.
I mean, I think the track in 3 and 4 was definitely rutted up and getting pretty chewed up there throughout the early stages and the middle stages of the night. And then once it got the feature time, it was a little bit better, but still was really rough in the middle. So you really had to be decisive to either go around them or go below those ruts. But, you know, from there, the track was progressing well and changing a little bit. And then they re-groomed it for the final race for us, you know, right before us. And it just was a bottom in 1 and 2, top in 3 and 4, having to go around the bumps, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of one groovish, in my opinion. But It was tough to get any kind of momentum built on the outside of 1 and 2 to get a pass made. And I obviously was biding my time, taking my time, and those guys come up quick. So we were lapped early, and then, you know, when the caution came out and I got to go back in front of the leader, I thought that was like a free pass type moment, and apparently it's not. So I was still a lap down. So they told me over the radio, they said, "You're still a lap car." So I was like, "All right, well, there's nothing to race for. I'm not going to go up there and get in the mix and tear up a car. I still want to be able to come back and run tomorrow night." So, you know, we were just kind of mired where we were. But hopefully I can get back there and improve on what I ran last night.
And, I mean, the Cup car is like 1,000 pounds more than what you ran last night, right? So how different is that going to be?
Those cars are not even close to what we're going to run. So it's just a matter of figuring out the track and feeling the track and getting some visuals. You know, the white line that we're running around is not the same white line that I'm always used to running around at Bristol. So it's definitely different. And just trying to learn and see exactly what the racetrack feels like. And I've driven those cars before, but nowhere close to anywhere like Bristol. The biggest, fastest place I've been on with those is Eldora. And so just trying to remember what the grip level was at Eldora and trying to remember what the grip level is at Bristol and then, you know, trying to think about what a Cup car would feel like. So the cars aren't even close where I'm learning anything, really.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer. Do I have any question, Lee?
Thank you, and congratulations, Kyle. I wanted to ask you about the addition of Marty, how that felt working together with him.
With crew chief, with Marty?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought I heard you. It's good, you know. Obviously, you know, we've had a lot of great people at KBM, and we continue to have great people at KBM, and, you know, it's ever-evolving, and the sport's always changing. You try to stay on top of things, and, you know, when we had Rudy leaving there and we had a vacancy, that was to fill that. And then we had another one and we got Eric Phillips. So I feel like we've gotten a really good, strong group of guys. I feel like Stockman's really good too. We were very successful last year. I was with him. So, you know, hoping that we can all get collectively better and continue that trend and have the four truck definitely be in contention for the championship. I feel like those guys are really good. We just got to build on that 18 some more.
There you have Kyle Busch, the winner of the 60th Camping World Truck Series race. All righty, let's go to Xfinity. Justin Allgaier overtakes a dominating Martin Truex Jr. in the Xfinity Series, driving the number 54 of Kyle Busch Motorsports. I think Truex won both stages, led twice for 103 of the 163 laps. So that tells you how long he was in the front. But in the end, it's the one who wins the final stage, which is when you get the actual checkered flag, not that green and white thing they end stages with. This is where it counts, and an Xfinity Series regular gets the win. Truex Jr. was second. Harrison Burton got the third spot. Noah Gragson was fourth. A.J. Allmendinger, fifth. He's been running pretty good in the Xfinity Series, especially being known for his road course prowess, doing pretty good on the ovals. Riley Herbst was sixth, Michael Annett seventh, Justin Haley eighth, Daniel Hemric ninth, Ryan Sieg rounds out your top 10. Race was 2 hours and 10 minutes and 50 seconds. You just say 2 hours to 11. Margin of victory, pretty wide, 1.449 seconds. Average speed, 115. With the win, Allgaier gets his 15th in the Xfinity Series. Seven cautions for 37 laps, including a competition and two stage conclusion. So Four of those were for incidents, six lead changes amongst five drivers. Let's check the point standings. Kincindrick leads the points. He has two wins. Daniel Hemric, second. Harrison Burton, third. A.J. Allmendinger, fourth with a win. He's locked in. As I say, you're winning, you're in. Justin Haley, fifth. Jeb Burton, sixth. The Burton cousins. Matt Snyder, seventh. Justin Allgaier, eighth for the win. He's locked in. Jeremy Clements, ninth. And Brandon Jones, tenth. Brandon Brown, 11th. And on the bubble, Riley Herbst in 12th. Michael Annette in 13th is 1 point out of that bubble. So there's going to be a battle there going. So we'll see how that pans out. Let's go to the audio.
That was actually good to know. After like the third or fourth race, my daughter here, this is the last one they get to travel to. Obviously can't go to victory lane, but just proud of the guys. We had a great pit
out of the field. Sorry, Algar. I see him in the back. Hey, congrats though. But no, as a whole, we're just the coolest drivers. And, you know, it's a family atmosphere, so it shows. Simple answer.
And I'm on the same Zoom link as you. You don't have to be mean like that. Got it.
I didn't say you weren't cool, Harrison. I just said we were the coolest drivers.
It's still much
love to everybody else. The coolest drivers.
Well, we can all feel the love tonight. And, gentlemen, I really appreciate you taking the time to share that love. Good luck in 2 weeks in Martinsville.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Thank you.
Waiting on Justin Allgaier.
On whether you characterize them as mistakes or bad fortune, that's kind of taking you out of some potential good finishes.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We've kind of had all of the above. You know, I'll be the first to say that I definitely made some mistakes this year. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, when you don't feel like you're running as good as you want to run, or you start behind the eight ball from the beginning of the race, you try to make things happen. And sometimes in this sport, you're better off to just kind of let them happen as they're going to happen. And today's a great example of that. You know, we just plugged along, and we tried to make no mistakes, and we never tried to get more than what we had. You know, at the beginning of the runs, we weren't as good as we wanted to be, and we let the track and the car come to us, and, you know, ultimately that was the difference maker for us. I think that's where we were able to make a positive gains in the setup all day because we didn't get, frustrated at the speed that we had early, and you know, I think that's a big part of it. I'll be honest with you, Bob, I've been miserable the beginning part of this year, not from a standpoint of the finishes, but more so from a fact of just not living up to the expectations I put on myself, on our team, the expectations the team has of themselves. You know, we have such a great organization that it's hard when you feel like you're letting, you know, collectively everybody's letting each other down, and you always want to keep trying to push through that, and that's really what today is all about, is just getting that momentum going again on our side and really, kind of like I said earlier, just riding that ship.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Our next question will come from Chris Knight. Go ahead with the question, Chris.
Hey, Justin, congratulations on the win today. This is the earliest that you've won in a season since 2017. How important is that, or is it important at all?
Well, that's actually good to know. After like the third or fourth race in points, I was just hoping that we'd make it back to a position where we could even make the playoffs if we won a race. So, you know, this obviously helps, goes a long way. We got good stage points all day. But I think for me, probably more than the win early was the fact that we were able to hold off Martin. You know, there's no question Martin had the best car early on. Even at the end there, you know, he had a great car and had to push really hard to even get to me. So, you know, I knew that if I if I let myself down and let the 54 get by me, I knew I was going to be pretty bummed at myself. So it was more about an internal battle at the end there just to make sure that I didn't make any mistakes. As Bob pointed out, you know, you can't make mistakes in this sport. It's so easy to make a small mistake and it turn into a big one. So I knew I needed to do my job and run qualifying laps there at the end. And you know, ultimately that's what it came down to. You know, I think he pushed a little too hard. Lap traffic worked in my favor, and you know, we had a good car. You know, that really is what it comes down to, is we had a good car.
There's Little Gator, Justin Allgaier. All right, now to the main event of the weekend series. Remember, they actually had a named sponsor for the series now. But Kyle Larson, who led both stages, and 269 of the 325 laps. Had kind of the same situation play out as in the Xfinity series with Martin Truex Jr. And wound up that Ryan Blaney led three times for a whopping 25 laps. Wound up taking the checkered flag, locking himself into the playoffs. Larson wound up second. He won last week, and he was in the playoffs. I had picked Harvick for this one, so. I picked the Ford, but the wrong Ford. Anyway, Alex Bowman was third, Denny Hamlin fourth, Kyle Busch fifth. He's still looking for his first win of the season. Austin Dillon sixth, Kristen Buescher seventh, eighth, William Byron. Martin Truex Jr. 9th, and my pick for the race wound up 10th. He didn't even lead any laps, but that's neither here nor there. Race took 3 hours, 27 minutes. Average speed, 144.5 mile an hour. Margin of victory, whopping 2.08 seconds. That's pretty big. It's Blaney's 5th Cup Series victory. Cautions for 25 laps of competition, 2 stages, so 2 of those were for incidents. 11 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. Two of the points, 16 make the playoffs, so let's see who's up at the top now. Denny Hamlin still leads the points. Kyle Larson is second, 43 back. It's a big gap to finish. You can't make that up in one race. I'll just leave it at that. Not in this day and age. Joey Logano third, Martin Truex fourth. Locked in with a win. Brad Keselowski fifth. Kevin Harvick, 6th. Ryan Blaney, 7th, locked in with a win. William Byron, locked in with a win in 8th. Christopher Bell, locked in with a win in 9th. 10th, Chase Elliott, 11th, Austin Dillon. 12th, Kyle Busch, 13th, Michael McDowell, locked in with a win. Alex Bowman, 14th, Kurt Busch, 15th, and on the bubble, Chris Buescher, and he has a 6-point lead over Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So there's going to be some battling going on to make that up. But we'll see that when we get there anyway. Let's go get the audio. Here we go. And nobody's in an actual press room. Well, that ain't good.
Have had a lot of races. You guys have led a lot of laps, been dominant, been in position to win, and then seen something happen where it's gone away. This was kind of the opposite of that today. Does it feel good to get a win like this after what you've had these experiences before?
Well, let's answer it first.
Go ahead. I just got done talking.
All right. Yeah, it does. I think there's a lot of things that Yeah, this is just the growth of relationship and you know, confidence building amongst each. It's great to be in a position where you're chasing them down, where you're the hunter, not the hunter. And, I think it just speaks for – I've watched Ryan grow in the last 14 months. He's had tons of speed, and he continues to do things. And we're understanding what we need to do as a race team to give him better stuff at the end of the race. And there's been places we've gone the other way, and that's all part of the learning curve. But trying to put that together, I was thoroughly impressed with the drive there after stage two. And like what Ryan talked about, he knew that, you know, late in that run before the pit cycle and in the final run, he was running Kyle down pretty hard. And love the fact that you could put the pressure on him and still run up there at the top. And I think this is something that we as a team can continue to build off of. And I think there's a lot more opportunities to do this. And yeah, we've had a couple of situations where it's gone away from us, but I would say that we all are figuring out what those pieces are that we can put together to make sure that we're successful at the end. And today with the culmination of those, we'll build off that.
Yeah, I mean, you know what Todd said, it is a little bit of an opposite. You know, from last year we led tons of laps in some races and just didn't work out. But, today, you keep yourself in the hunt, you know, at all these races. You know, you keep yourself running up front and, you know, you're going to stack up wins. You know, today was a great example. We weren't the best car to the first half of the day and we kept working on it. And, you know, everyone did a great job, pit crew included, of keeping us in the game, you know, keeping us top three all day, and we got our car to where it needed to be, and we were able to capitalize on it. So it's just about staying in the game, and you know, we did that really well today, so I'm proud of everybody.
And the second question, this is for Ryan. You've won a race now for five straight seasons. I mean, you have not won two races in a season. Going into this year, was that a goal? Was that the expectation of, hey, we've got to take that next step and become a multi-race winner?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, yeah, it's nice to win a race every year, but, you know, you don't want to just win one race, you know. And honestly, you don't want to, you know, it's nice to get a win early in the season right now. You know, we're, what, six races in, something like that, and six different winners. But, you know, it's nice to get a win early in the season. That's something that's kind of eluded us. You know, we got that win at Talladega last year, but it was a little, you know, mid-season. So getting one early is great. And, you know, we had the potential to do it last year, and like Todd said, we're just learning each other. And I was really proud of the effort, and I look forward to, you know, the rest of the season here.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Your winner, Ryan Blaney. All right. Little thing different going on this weekend. The Truck Series and the Cup Series at Bristol. Not the Xfinity Series. The only difference is it's covered with dirt. This is the Bristol Dirt Race, Food City Dirt Race. I wonder how they're going to lay that one out. I'm not going to pick a winner because I couldn't. This is something new to them on this track. Same with the Truck Series. One will be Saturday at 8 and the other Sunday will be at 3:30, Fox Sports 1 for the truck race, and the cup race will be at 3:30. One under the lights, one not so much. It should be interesting to see who takes the initial Bristol Dirt Race. First time the Cup Series has run on dirt in a really, really long time. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm Vinny B. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.